Today's episode of Talk of Alaska is a rebroadcast of a previous episode. We will not be taking calls during today's program.
To enjoy winter in the north, or just to get by with your faculties intact, you have to have a strategy for the darkness. Some of us see it as a chance to nest, to spend more time reading on the couch or tackling indoor projects. For others, winter sports and bright snow provide seasonal thrills unavailable to much of the world. And for some of us, it's a time to drag out the therapeutic lamps to keep the gloom at bay. We'll discuss darkness and finding ways to enjoy the short days of winter today on Talk of Alaska.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.
Hello, it's Talk of Alaska. I'm Lori Townsend. It's always a welcome sight for me when snow finally covers the ground this time of year, after weeks of rapid decline in light and finding it harder to see on the trails at night. Suddenly, the ground is bright white and everything seems less gloomy, at least for me. How about for you? How do you handle this time of year? Do you have certain activities that you only do during the dark days of winter? Do you dread the dark or find it comforting? Here with us today to discuss how to deal with darkness in a positive way are two Alaskans, Holly Brooks. Holly is a two-time Winter Olympian and also a therapist. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here today. And we have another Holly. Holly Nordlum is on the line. Holly is an Inupiaq artist, graphic designer, and a traditional tattoo artist. Holly, thanks for being on the line with us today.
Hi, Lori. Thank you.
You can also join us, Alaskans. Do you get cabin fever or do you love winter? Do you use full spectrum lights to help? Do you have any habits or rituals that help you deal with the low light? You can call us statewide at 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255. If you're in Anchorage, the local number is 907-550-8422. 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. Holly Brooks, let's start off with you. As a therapist, do you see patients who struggle a bit more now this time of year than they do in the summer?
I think so. You know, I've been, the past couple of weeks, I've been thinking about my caseload, and I have noticed a higher acuity, meaning the things and the issues that people bring into the therapy room just seem a little bit heavier, a little bit more serious, right? And so I guess the short answer to that question is yes.
And when you consider that, are the issues that much heavier, or is it our own selves kind of piling on because, oh, it's getting darker? And so we sort of manifest a higher sense of anxiety or urgency around things that maybe in July wouldn't seem so big.
Yeah, they're usually not new issues, right? But I think sometimes the darkness tends to exacerbate what is already there, right? And then I also see lots of students, lots of young people, right? And the darkness plus the academic load, plus the, you know, midterms and finals and holidays and travel. And, you know, it can be a lot.
It really can. And do you, you talked a little bit about young people, but do you notice demographic differences among those who have more trouble coping? Is it younger or older, women or men?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, per the research, women are actually, they experience SAD at a higher rate than, you know, their male or other genders. And then, you know, also younger people, actually people under the age of 40, tend to experience SAD, at least according to the research, more than older people, which I thought was interesting when I was kind of looking into the research. So, you know, if you are a female and you are under the age of 40, per the research, that those are risk factors. And then, of course, living in northern latitudes, right? So, you know, people in Alaska have a higher rate of being affected by the darkness than, you know, those living closer to the equator.
I am really surprised that it's the younger demographic that has a higher rate of struggle, because I, you know, as I age, I just assume that all these things come along with it and it's going to get harder to grapple with this. But it might just be the longevity of your lens on, you know, okay, we'll get through this just like we do every year. So maybe that helps a little bit, having length of experience. Holly Nordlum, I want to turn to you now. You said in an earlier interview that losing light has already affected you this year. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm getting older, like you said, Lori, and not only physically with the ice and snow, I have to be a little more careful because I have some injuries in my hips, so I have to be careful. But I did hurt my hip early on, so already I'm feeling like, okay, I've got to come up with some plan to attack this, lay on the couch, do nothing, nap, virus I have.
You know, you mentioned an important point, too. I was just talking earlier about being so happy to see snow, but the first thing I did was fall on the ice too. And so we have to be very careful. It's good to get out there when it's nice and bright and snowy, but you have to be careful not to slip and hurt yourself so that you can't get out at all. Holly, you had also earlier, Holly Nordlum, you'd earlier mentioned that you have been experiencing more fatigue right now. How are you coping with that?
Yeah, I am. I don't know how. I'm trying to get out more. I started doing yoga again, things like that to cope with it. But I am still very tired. I took a trip to Juneau for Ockrock and got COVID there about a month ago. And I think I have lingering effects of that too. So, you know, just trying to eat and drink lots of liquids and do the things that you're supposed to do when you're recovering from something. But it's been a month, so yeah. I need to come up with more things.
And are you kind of doing that? Are you giving yourself pep talks about, okay, not feeling great, still recovering, had the hip injury, but must get some exercise? Do you talk to yourself about getting out there?
Absolutely. I also got a puppy. That helps a lot.
Oh, yes. Very much so. That was
my...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So not only I'm in love now, and I have a walking partner.
Yeah, that was going to be absolutely one of my suggestions, too, is, boy, having a dog. So even when you feel like, oh, I'm tired, it's been a long day, I don't want to get out there. And then you get home and see those eyes like, oh, yeah, you're going. So which is great, because then you always feel better. Holly Brooks, do you hear similar problems from other Alaskans this time of year, adjusting to the rapid decline in light affecting their sleep?
Absolutely. You know, one of the signs and symptoms is just feeling really groggy, feeling really sluggish, right? And, you know, if we think of SAD, seasonal affective disorder, it is a form of depression. It is the winter blues, right? And, you know, there are lots of signs and symptoms of SAD and of depression, you know, feeling hopeless, feeling low energy, either sleeping too much or sleeping too little, right? You know, just being irritable, right? Craving carbs, being extra sensitive to rejection, right? Social rejection, and having difficulty concentrating. But, you know, there are so many signs and symptoms, and just that feeling of I need to sleep all the time is definitely one of them. And that's because with the darkness, you know, the levels of melatonin, you know, is going up, and our levels of serotonin, right, which is our primary neurotransmitter that affects our mood, is going down. So it's like we have, right.
Bad convergence.
Exactly. exactly. So, you know, there are a couple of things that, you know, I talk about, I think of for myself personally, but then I also share with clients. And that is, we need to cope ahead for this transition. And coping ahead is a skill in dialectical behavior therapy, which we need to anticipate the hardship and we need to prepare for it in advance. Right. And if this is not your first rodeo or your first winter in Alaska, we know a little bit about what to expect. Right. Maybe we can expect that sluggishness. So what can we do, you know, or what systems and routines can we set up ahead of time to help us out? And, you know, one of the treatments for depression is something called behavioral activation. Right. And so one of my favorite quotes about that is, you do not have to feel good to get going. You have to get going to feel good.
So, so true. Just, you know, referencing back to walking the dog. You don't want to go. But of course, once you get out there and start moving, get oxygen in your blood, you feel better.
Exactly. It's this idea that mood follows action. Right. And so you cannot wait for motivation to hit you. Right. If you're doing that, you're going to be sitting on the couch for a long, long, long time
with a very unhappy dog.
Exactly. And so, Holly, I love that you got a puppy that will look at you and say, let's go, let's go. Right. But if you can't get a puppy, you need to get some other systems in place. And so maybe it's a walking partner or, you know, I'm going to wear my bias on my sleeve here, right? I am a cross-country skier. And, you know, cross-country skiing is really, I think, one of the best, healthiest things that Alaskans can do. It's accessible. It is, you know, once you actually acquire the skis, it's affordable, right? And I like to say, if you can walk, maybe you can ski, right? And it gets you outside. It snowed, you know, Anchorage received our second snowfall, but it seems like the snowfall that's here to stay. And it feels like the lights were turned on. And there is, I think, nothing better than just getting outside, getting on the trails, grabbing a friend or a family member and going out and having a conversation while you're moving your body. That is one of the best things you can do to cope ahead for the winter months.
I really like that idea of coping ahead. And we'll talk more about that as we move along today. This is Talk of Alaska. If you're just joining us, we're talking about winter darkness and strategies, ideas for how to best cope with it. Try to embrace it instead of dread it, so that you're not just getting through and surviving, that you're actually thriving during this time of year. If you'd like to join our conversation, if you have ideas about what helps you to get through the dark part of winter, if you have certain rituals that you engage in this time of year or other strategies for keeping yourself from getting down about the darkness, give us a call at 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255 is the number statewide. Or if you have a question for Holly Brooks or Holly Nordlum, Holly Brooks is a licensed therapist as well as a winter Olympian, so she can certainly answer questions about winter and therapy at the same time. 1-800-478-8255. If you're in Anchorage, the local number is 907-550-8422. 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. Does, you know, talking about affecting the sleep patterns for people this time of year, how does age affect how we respond to the decline in light this time of year? I tend to have trouble sleeping. Does the dark season help those of us that have some insomnia?
Geez, that's a good question. That's a loaded question. You know, it's funny. I'm thinking about that with my mom hat on right now, and I feel like, you know, after becoming a parent, it's a lot harder to sleep, right? You know, kids are up in the middle of the night, and I know that we just switched our clocks, right? And my son was up right at 6 a.m., right? And he was ready to go with daylight savings time. You know, I do think that insomnia does set in, and people tend to report more trouble sleeping with age. But I'm also seeing a lot of young people that just are not getting nearly enough sleep, right? And so, you know, maybe their need for sleep with the darkness is coming up, but so is the stress, be it academic or activities or social stress is coming up. So you ask a good question.
Holly Nordlum, you said when you spoke with Madeline Rose, our producer, earlier, that you dream about trips this time of year. Tell us about those dreams and where you would long to be.
And my mom is coming down here from Kotzebue soon for Thanksgiving, and I asked her, do you want to go someplace warmer? Because I had been looking. I look regularly at what's on sale to get out of Alaska and head south a little bit. A few years ago, I took my mom after she had COVID because she was having trouble recovering. We went to San Diego for a week and a half and had no plans, just got a house. And, you know, she had this terrible cough that just went away with the weather. It was wonderful. So, yeah, I looked at tickets to California. I looked at tickets to Hawaii, to Mexico, you know, the usual spots. No particular.
Someplace with lots of sun.
Yes, just a little bit of therapy.
Alaskans definitely love a warm vacation, right? But I think it's also important to point out that that takes a lot of resources, right? Not everyone can afford, right, to go fly somewhere warm. And so, you know, sometimes I think about what can we do here, right? What can we do here and now to either get a little bit more light in our life or, you know, even create like a little bit of a staycation situation, right? And I know, Lori, you mentioned light therapy a little bit at the beginning of the hour. And, you know, light therapy is absolutely a thing, right? And I think a lot of Alaskans out there probably have one of the light boxes, and I actually have mine set up right by the coffee maker, right? And so in the absence of being able to go to Hawaii or Mexico often, right, I really emphasize creating some light in my own house on a daily basis, right? And so a lot of the research about light therapy you know, says that having 20 to 60 minutes of exposure to light that is at least 10,000 lumens, you know, and is notable for your mood, right? It helps your body and your brain wake up. It's recommended in the morning. You know, I also think it's really important, even though we have fewer hours of light here, I think it's really, really crucial for everyone to get outside at least briefly during that time, right? So if you are someone that works in an office and you never see the light of day, can you, in the middle of the day, go outside, walk around your office building three times, right? And then walk back into your office, right? And so I think that that's really, really crucial.
Just get a little bit of sunshine or light, even if the sun isn't out, but it's at least light out. Get out there and let your body get a little exposure to that. That's a great idea. I want to go to the phones in a moment here, but Holly Brooks, I mentioned earlier that I love it when we finally get some snow after we're losing light. What is it about the snow that makes such a difference beyond just our eyeballs being able to see more? Is there what's the psychological impact there?
Well, it has a huge reflective ability, right? And I think I mentioned earlier that I feel like someone just turned the lights on when it snowed. And so, I mean, walking my kids to the bus stop this morning, it was beautiful. You know, I think that the low light combined with the snow covering the trees, we haven't had a rain event or a wind event yet. And it just looks like a beautiful, cozy blanket outside. And I'll tell you, even when I'm inside my house and I look out the window and I see the snow, it brings a smile to my face. And so there is a reflective quality, right? And I know as a person who loves winter, right?
Me too.
Have a positive association with it. And so, you know, one thing that I do want to mention is how we think about the weather and the winter affects how we feel about the winter and the weather, right? And so this is kind of traditional CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. But if you're thinking about the winter and you're like, oh no, it's dark, I'm going to feel horrible, here comes the depression, right? Then the feelings that come along with that are anxiety, right? And dread, right? But if you can change those thoughts and go through what's called a thought correction, right? And you can say, okay, you know, the winter's coming. What can I actually do to maybe look forward to it? And how can I cope ahead? And, you know, even kind of point out some of the positive things, right? That can be really helpful. Then that's going to lead to emotions that are more hopeful in nature.
So we got to pump ourselves up.
Exactly.
Get ready for this time of year. I love that idea.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's easier for me because I'm a winter baby. I was born in December. So I love wintertime. And I'm just crazy about the light this time of year when everything looks like it's all monochrome, black
yes.
and white. I happen to like that. I know that for some people it might be like boring or kind of depressing that there's not more vibrant colors everywhere. But to me, it's restful. And mm-hmm. and I don't see it as gloomy or depressing. For me, it's just this beautiful, restful time. And I have a black dog, so my dog fits right in with this time of year. Let's go to the phones for a moment. Wes is still in Homer, but he's not on the line. We had an email from Marianne who says, for her mood during winter, she says, I've found that tanning helps. So there's someone. Mm-hmm. And Celia writes, hi, Lori. I used to use a psychological trick to help my winter blues. I work for myself, so did not have to leave in the dark. I could work on my own schedule. I told myself when it got light, I needed to start working. So I enjoyed knitting, reading, drinking coffee till it got light. Sometimes I would not be thrilled to see the sky getting light because I wasn't ready to stop the things I enjoy doing. It worked for me. I hope maybe someone else with a flexible schedule might benefit from this trick too. Thank you, Celia. And Celia is also in Homer. So that's, you know, it's kind of like in hand with what you were talking about, sort of pumping ourselves up and doing those things that help us prepare for, okay, now it's time to go to work or, you know, mm-hmm. just adjusting your schedule. But that's another thing. Oh, I guess maybe we have Wes back. Hello, Wes.
Hello. Greetings from Homer, Alaska, where we have just a touch of snow.
All right. So what's your thoughts about how to handle this time of year?
Well, being from Alaska, the darkness nearly never bothered me. There's always something to do. But just a reminder of people going out there in the elements to stay hydrated. And if you got the animal with you, bring a small dish and keep them hydrated too and dress proper. And the animals too, and especially children. A lot of people send their kids out there and they're wearing just gym shorts and a t-shirt. But keep the kids all bundled up. And also, the people that don't have pets, you can always get acquainted with the animal shelter. And I'm sure one of those animals would love to go out there for a little walk in the elements.
Great ideas, Wes. Thank you so much. And, you know, hydration and proper gear, really important points about how you experience being outdoors. Thanks for the call. We also heard by email from Doug in Fairbanks who says, the best cure for sad is a pair of cross-country skis and an energetic dog. So we're getting confirmation.
We're on the same page.
I love it. Holly Nordlum, turning back to you, you said before that you work to enjoy what's happening. So talk to us about how you work to be present during this time instead of sort of like thinking beyond it or hoping that it'll pass quickly. What helps you enjoy these shorter days?
Yeah, I mean, we're not even to the shorter days yet, right? It's just a transition. So, just being grateful, I guess. And I work from home, and so the puppy doesn't even have to, he can tell me when he wants to go out, right? But yeah, just being grateful, knowing that I have a transitional time that I need a little extra care. And maybe, you know, I've suffered from depression for many years, so I'm on meds. I have been. And being honest about whether they're working right now. And maybe I need something else over this little transitional time to help me through. And then, again, being grateful for what I do have and what's going on.
You mentioned a really important point, that you help yourself through having depression, through medication and other methods. Holly Nordlund mentioned maybe needing something additional at this time of year. Do you find that that is the case with a lot of folks that you work with, that just in this period of time when the days are so short, they might need a little more help?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that this is a time of year where we need to be more intentional about our self-care, right? It's, you know, the mood isn't necessarily coming naturally to us, right? And so we need to be mindful of our environments. We need to be mindful of our social situations, right? And so I would say that, you know, the medication isn't always the first line of defense, right? And so what can you do? Are you getting outside? Are you being mindful, you know, of what you're eating, right? Are you making sure that you are getting together with friends and family, right? When maybe your natural inclination is to isolate. But absolutely, you know, the use of, you know, an SSRI or, you know, another kind of medication totally might be warranted and might be helpful, you know, with a seasonal pattern. And, you know, Holly Nordlund, maybe you find in summer you don't need it, you know, I don't know. But it definitely is an aid and something that should be in the toolbox for people that need that extra boost.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go back to the phones for a moment. Stu is in Muldoon. Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. It's kind of serendipitous, but as I was listening to your program, the sun shined in my kitchen window from between Wolverine and the Dome, and it just helped me realize that maybe it's a good thing to remind people that when you purchase property, get something with southern exposure. It really helps to have the sun coming in your windows for at least a couple hours. And also, you were talking about the season change and what you do to stay sane. Clearing trails. That way you can stay busy regardless of the snow conditions until you got a base to ski on. Of course, you got a lot of snow now, but if you take your skis out there, you're going to ruin them unless you stay on the grass. You got to have that base so you can still clear trails. What we did this year was we worked on Centennial Sled Hill in Centennial Park. Because the muni was just too busy with all the issues with the homeless folks. So, yeah, we got it. It's pretty well. Things like that, you can just keep working on it regardless if you get the snow or not, because you know, alders grow
and staying busy.
There's all kinds of trails that people don't officially do anything about, but local folks, like right now I just walked my dog in the Chance New Muldoon Dog Park over there, and I saw the locals picking up after the massive homeless presence they had, and they're doing it to stay sane, and they're talking, they're building community. And they're saying things like, God, I hope they don't come back. But still, they're out there trying to pick it up. And now it's buried in snow, so probably will stay there until either melts or we have, you know, May.
The idea is just staying active and keeping out there. I wholeheartedly support the idea of physical activity, especially because that is what gets me, is if I can get up and do something physical, It always helps me. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take more calls and questions about how to cope with the shortest days of the year as Talk of Alaska continues. Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We're talking about winter darkness and ways to embrace this time of year rather than dread it and just survive it. Let's all thrive through these days of winter activities and low light, but it's also beautiful out there this time of year. 1-800-478-8255 is the number statewide if you'd like to join our conversation. 1-800-478-8255. If you're in Anchorage, the local number is 907-550-8422, 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. Let's go back to the phones for a moment. Carol is in Anchorage. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I just wanted to say I love winter in Alaska. It's one of my favorite seasons up here. The lighting, you know, with the long shadows and the sun low on the horizon and the snow on the trees and hoarfrost and what all that we get in the winter. And plus the sunrises and sunsets are just spectacular. So I appreciate all of that. But I recently, a few years ago, got into fat tire biking, and the trails around here are just incredible. And I notice I don't suffer from seasonal affective disorder anymore now that I'm not working and I can get outside a lot during the day. And getting physical exercise also really helps a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much, Carol. Such great points about getting out there and enjoying the beauty that's there. I take photographs all the time. I'm on the trails every night. And so with the changing light and changing conditions, as you noted, the hoarfrost and all the snow on the branches, it's just glorious out there right now.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thanks for the call. Let's stay with the phones for a moment. We're going to go now to Jean in Fairbanks. Hi, Jean.
Oh, hello, Laurie. I have a thought about it. We've lived here about 55 years, and I find that for me, I avoid feeling depressed by having some challenging project that I'm working on. I know friends, are many of them are musicians and things like that, so they form musical groups. If you're a creative person, you might have a series of, well, like paintings that you're doing, try to do something in a series. I'm personally a writer, and so I try to study writing, find some aspect, some writer I really enjoy, get that person's books and read them from the library, and set myself some writing challenges. You know, I write short stories, so that's not too heavy a lift for me right now. And I can go ahead and try to keep writing those. So I think if you have even Christmas preparations, for particularly for women, you know, my husband's saying, oh, gosh, all these ads are already about Christmas. But, you know, we have particularly women who usually have a whole lot of family members to buy for our friends. It helps to start early. So if you have some little project or big project that you're working on that really makes winter seem like an inviting time, oh, now I finally can come indoors and do my stuff, you know.
Yeah, there is some of that too. Especially if you do a lot of gardening or other summer activities, then, you know, it can be okay. Now we transition into this new season of still busyness and activities, but just different types of activities. Thanks so much for the call, Jean. Holly Brooks, turning back to you, you had said earlier that this time of year is harder for everyone. Sad affects almost everyone to some degree. What is happening in our systems that makes us feel so different?
Yeah, there are, you know, almost four kind of causes, right, of seasonal affective disorder. You know, one of them is just the disturbance to our circadian rhythms, right? And so that, you know, we often depend on the light to help us feel alert and feel more awake. So when we wake up and it's dark, our body says, hey, I still want to sleep. so that's cause number one. You know, the second cause is that that dip in natural serotonin levels, right? And so that is that primary neurotransmitter that affects our mood. So we have a disturbance to our sleep patterns. We have a dip in serotonin. Then we have the rise in melatonin, right? Which makes us feel sleepy. And then we also, you know, many of us have natural vitamin D deficiencies, right? And vitamin D is really important for our energy, for our mood, right? For also having an immune response, right? It's also important for bone health, right? So when we're thinking about slippery ice, you know, it's really important that we're being mindful of our vitamin D intake, right? Because if you fall, you don't want your bones to break. You want to be able to pop right back up. And so, you know, vitamin D, we get that through light, right? And so that's why it's important to go outside when it is light, have that reflection from the snow, engage in light therapy, but then also being really mindful of our diets, right? And we need to be sure to eat foods that are rich in vitamin D. And, you know, up here, hey, salmon, right? Alaskans, you know, many of us have a good source of one of the richest sources of vitamin D available. So
that's such really an important, yeah, such an important reminder that if you're not getting enough vitamin D, to take a supplement, you know, talk to your doctor, of course, but take a supplement. I know that it helps me be less crabby if I do those things. Is this really part of a natural rhythm for human beings? People work, you know, have for generations worked harder in the summer months to sort of pack in all the activities that need to get done or get their food for the winter. And then our bodies are wanting and maybe needing to slow down to a bit. We're not bears, so we don't hibernate. But is it kind of a similar lethargy?
It feels like that, right? but I have to say, it's one of the things I absolutely love about Alaska. And I don't think I could live on the equator where every day is the same. And I think that's one of the things as Alaskans we can celebrate, the juxtaposition of summer versus winter, the different pace of life, the different recreational activities we get to engage in, right? Like the caller before, you know, she talked about the, you know, maybe the intellectual or the artistic things that, you know, the books and the writing and the art and the cooking, right, that we can engage in the winter months. And I just love the fact that winter is so different from summer, which is so different than spring and fall, you know, and just the diversity that we have up here in our environment and the activities that we engage in, I know they keep me alive, right? And it just feels really vital.
Just embracing those seasons. Let's talk about the ritual of changing clocks. A lot of us use our phones for our alarm clocks, and they reset for daylight savings time automatically. But I've still got a few old school clocks and appliances that require resetting. That is part of this biannual transition for me. How about for you? Is it sort of Holly Brooke start us off and then Holly Nordlund pick it up?
You know, I think that most people are not huge fans, right, of the changing of the clocks. However, sometimes it feels good to gain an hour, right? But
yeah, when you lose it, it's like, darn it.
Exactly. It's funny. It's just an hour, right? But the ripple effect is quite large. And I think if you look at kind of the science, you know, there are all sorts of implications, health implications, and even implications on mortality and morbidity and, you know, all of that. But I do have to say, when I walked my kids to the bus this morning and it was light, I was a little happy about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it does add another stressful component. And despite, you know, the time change or not, it's really important to get outside when it is light, regardless of what the clock says.
How about for you, Holly Nordlund, when it's time to do that clock reset? Do you have some clocks that you have to reset? I even have one in my car because my car's so old, it has an actual clock in it.
Exactly. I'm looking at two of them right now that I haven't changed yet. I went to change it the other day and my teenager said, "No, I like it." I was like, okay, whatever.
Just wants to be reminded of that hour.
The old time.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was funny. So I didn't, which is good because I don't want to climb up there and change it anyway.
So.
It can just stay. It'll be accurate half the year. Well, speaking of daylight savings time and clock transitions, I want to play a little bit from a podcast here. Talkeetna resident and radio host Kathleen Fleming recorded this on Sunday on KTNA's podcast, Susitna Writer's Voice. And Kathleen was musing about the clock switch and suggested even though most Americans want to stop it, preferring daylight savings time, Kathleen thinks Alaska should have multiple time zones like we did here in the state before 1983. Let's hear from Kathleen.
Inconvenient as that may be, the Earth spins 15 degrees in 1 hour. The standard meridian for Alaska time is near Juneau. That's where the clock and the sun agree about when high noon happens, but only during standard time. The Susitna Valley is 15 degrees west of there, 1 hour different, so even during standard time, it's 1 p.m. when the sun says it's high noon. 15 degrees further west is Nome, where solar noon happens at 2 p.m. AST. Until we made the switch on Sunday, their solar noon was at 3 p.m. Is that really the clock time we want to keep year-round?
Is it? You can listen to the full Susitna Writer's Voice podcast at ktna.org. I just loved how Kathleen kind of roped in all those important, you know, distinctions in the light here in our state. Holly Brooks, do you think changing the clocks twice a year is a good or bad idea? If we stop doing this, move to one version, would that probably be better for our inner rhythms?
Oh, geez, I don't know if I'm really the expert voice.
We're
on
letting
this.
You be the expert voice today.
I feel like it's a little bit politicized, but I'm going to stick with my main point that, you know, whether we engage in daylight savings time or not, it's really important that we control our controllables, right? Which is what therapists always talk about, right? And you can't control the time zones, really. I mean, I guess you can control where you live, but it is really important to take control over the situations that you have control of, is coping ahead.
Yeah.
And it is getting outside when you can. It is, you know, being mindful and intentional about how you think about the winter, how you prepare for the winter, putting extra effort into getting together with friends and family and creating situations where we can socialize, right? When we have a tendency to want to isolate or stay in bed.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones for a moment. Jody is in Anchorage. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Great. Sorry if I sound distracted. I was trying to change the clock on my radio in my car.
Don't drive and change the clock, please, Jody.
I just wanted to say I look forward to winter. It's probably the most active season that I have. A few years ago, I had a little run-in with a moose and kind of ended my running days. So I got an electric mountain bike, and that thing is just a blast in the wintertime. And sort of like a suggestion to your listeners, if they want to get out, they want to do some good, fun winter activities, that's a alternative to just walking or whatever. But that electric mountain bike is just really a game changer for me.
Well, thank you, Jody, for the call. It's important to remember that, you know, though we're talking here about getting out and enjoying activities in the wintertime, but of course not everybody has the joy of free mobility. And so considering that is important, as well as how do we help folks also enjoy activity that is important for your mental well-being if you have mobility challenges. So thank you, Jody, for that call. We're going to take another short break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion about celebrating the darkness instead of dreading it as Talk of Alaska continues. Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We're discussing the dark days of winter and how we can help ourselves have a better experience if it's something that you have dreaded in the past. We've got ideas for how to psych yourself up so it's a time of joy rather than a time of dread. 1-800-478-8255 is the number statewide. If you'd like to join our conversation, that's 1-800-478-8255. If you're in Anchorage, the local number is 907-550-8422. 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. Holly Nordlum, you're a tattoo artist, a traditional tattoo artist. Does solstice or the change of seasons affect how you do this work?
Yeah, I have a studio here attached to my house, and it has skylights, so I only work when it's light out because of my eyes. Like, they get tired when I can't see as well. So, and even if I had big lights set up in there, I can tell it's getting darker outside. Like, my eyes can tell. So I have to be honest about when I can do it. But I am getting a lot more clients because I think that people are looking for ways to cope with this transitional time into winter. So trying to balance that, I guess it's all about balance, right? Trying to figure out how much I can work and do a good job and how many clients I can take.
You live in Anchorage now, Holly, but you grew up in Kotzebue. The shortest day of the year there is like 1 hour, 41 minutes compared to almost 4 hours in Fairbanks, more than 5 hours in Anchorage, and 6 hours in Juneau. How did you have things that you did to sort of prepare for this time of year, bracing for that extreme low light?
I think I was a teenager. Everything was easier to cope with, right? Kotzebue also can be cold, although this year I've been a couple of times, and it rained. When it rained here the other day, it rained also in Kotzebue that day. So that was crazy. But I think I did all the sports growing up. I did basketball, cross country. You know, we would go sledding. We could break out our snow machines when the snow came out, which was wonderful for a teenager. And yeah, I mean, I've been here almost 30 years in Anchorage, so it's been a long time.
And you've got a little more light here.
Exactly. You know what's funny is I do, like, say a little thing of gratitude. I could be in Kotzebue. This is so much light.
Sorry, Kotzebue residents.
No, I love it. I love it. I just know it's harsher, you know?
Yeah, yeah. A little more to cope with and to prepare for and get yourself sort of psyched up. Before we go back to the phones for a moment, Holly Brooks, I wanted to ask you a question about what is it about this time of year? Why do we crave carbs and starchy things like squash and, you know, those types of foods? Why is that?
Those are comfort foods, right? And, you know, we're looking for those foods that give us that energy boost, right? Or the feel good, right? And so we have a tendency to crave more carbs, to crave more sugar, right? And, you know, as a therapist that works in the eating disorder space, you know, I definitely talk about how all foods fit, right? However, it's important to be mindful that our body has a tendency to, to crave those comfort foods. But at the end of the day, if we just eat those comfort foods, it's not going to make us feel good in the long run. So it's important to be mindful of that and to balance out your diet.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the phones for a moment. Victor is in Fairbanks. Hi, Victor.
Hi. It's the first time I've been on. So,
well, welcome.
Thank you for the service. My employer in their building put in all full spectrum lighting. And so, you know, I don't feel the down zone that I used to. And it's made a big difference. And so I noticed you weren't anybody talking about full spectrum lighting.
Well, that seems like a great thing for helping the mental well-being of employees there. Thank you, Victor, for that. Yeah, full spectrum light sounds like a good idea. We've only got a couple of minutes left here, and I wanted to get to talk a little bit about rituals that people do. Many cultures have traditions for certain types of activities in the winter, certain types of stories or dances. Holly Nordlum, how is that for the people of your region? What are the stories of coping this time of year or thriving this time of year?
Well, I think you had a caller call in and say she does projects, and that's kind of what would happen in the winter time because, you know, we're kind of enclosed, staying warm, that repairs are made during that time. And that's actually when tattooing happens, is when you're inside. So, yeah, those kind of things, preparing for the next season of gathering and hunting.
Sure. Getting all that prep work done for the next season.
Exactly.
And Holly Brooks, you had mentioned Danish culture and other, you know, the activities that people who live in winter settings engage in.
Well, so I love this idea of embracing a concept called hygge, right? And it's spelled H-Y-G-G-E. It is originally a Danish and Norwegian concept, but if we think of Norway and the latitude that they're at, it's very similar to the latitude here in Alaska. And the translation is it's embracing the coziness, right? And so it is, what can we do to create a warm atmosphere, right? And enjoy the good things in life with good people, right? And so, you know, I think in a way it has, hygge has been commodified a little bit, right? The candles and the blankets and the things that you can buy, right? But if I think about rituals around hygge, you know, I think about having dinner parties, or I think about, you know, creating some celebrations around winter solstice, right? And the return of the light. I know that this year, actually this past weekend, I had my third annual hygge retreat at my cabin and invited some close friends. And, you know, this was essentially my effort in terms of coping ahead, you know, and it was saying like, hey, it's a really dark time of year. Sometimes it's before the snow comes into place. And so how can we create you know, a social gathering that deepens relationships, and can we have some wonderful conversations, right, in the spirit of hygge, to create those social connections that are going to really enrich our experience all winter long, right? And if I think about the loneliness epidemic that we're in right now, I know at the beginning of the hour we talked about how, you know, per the research, darkness affects younger people more, but that also is reflected in that the loneliest age group right now is the age group of 18 to 25 per the research, right? And so go ahead.
I wanted to ask about that because we had in our last couple of minutes here, we had an email from a teacher in Alaska who said he's been a teacher for more than 30 years. He says, I've wondered if the increase in depression in children might relate to so many children that have depression regardless of the season. Back in the day, kids were always outside, but now much of the activities are indoors and often many prefer dark rooms. Has there been a rise in this affecting younger people more, as we've seen a rise in more technology and more, mm-hmm. you know, screen time and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, if you look at the research, there people are lonelier than they've ever been before, right? And it's this idea that people have, quote, more friends, but no one actually yeah. really knows them, right? And the core human condition is people want to know others and they want to be seen, right? But if we're having superficial, you know, relationships and superficial conversations, you know, no one is actually having a deep, real, meaningful, rich relationship. And so, you know, I would like to encourage people to think about creating meaningful gatherings. And I want to give a little shout out to this woman named Priya Parker. She wrote a wonderful book called The Art of Gathering. Mm. And she talks about how most of our events don't necessarily meet up to their full potential because people are having maybe superficial conversations, right? And so I like this. She talks about having prompts for a dinner party or...
Sounds like too much work to me, but I agree that's probably a great idea, especially if you're out of practice of having these deeper conversations. You know, we've been through a pandemic. People were away from each other and there's a lot of loneliness out there. Mm-hmm. In our final minutes, Holly Nordlum, I want to turn to you. You have a teenager in your household. How are you helping your teenager cope with, you know, balancing those things so that depression that can come from people isolating and doing too much alone screen time isn't a factor?
Well, luckily, he's very into music, so we can always rely on things like music and him playing music to get him through. And he does this cool thing where he listens to full albums and then writes a paragraph or two about what he thought about the album. And I notice because he's feeling a little shut in, even more than usual, that he's been doing that more recently. And then he comes out and shares them with me, which is pretty cool.
That sounds incredibly healthy. Good for you. What a great
kudos
activity.
To your son.
Yeah. Great healthy activities.
He did that on his own, so I didn't do it. I just listened and am supportive. So, yeah, I'm lucky to have a teenager who's kind of navigating this thing by himself.
Well, and clearly he's lucky to have you as a mom because he didn't get there on his own. So, all right. Thank you so much to our guest today, Holly Brooks, 2-time Winter Olympian and licensed therapist, and Holly Nordlum, who is an Inupiaq graphic designer and tattoo artist. Thanks to our engineer, Chris Hyde, our producer, Madeline Rose, and on the phones today, Tobin Shelby helped us out. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening today. I'm Lori Townsend.
Talk of Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.